Welcome to Kat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I'm here. I'm in California. I'm sitting in my new living room, and maybe it's echoey? I can't tell. Maybe the sound is a little bit different. But I finally unpacked the kitchen, which in itself took 4 days, and the living room, which took about 2 days. But everything was stacked in the living room, and then I had to bring it to other parts of the apartment. So I couldn't sleep the other night. I woke up at 3 a.m., and I was just thinking. I was a little bit nervous because I haven't been working, you know, since I moved here. And I have this feeling that it's just temporary, and I'll figure it out. At the same time, I'm spending money. I'm paying rent. I'm getting things on Amazon because I want to organize things in the apartment. I'm paying my bills. You know, there was a kind of a sense of nervousness because what's going to happen? Am I delusional for thinking it's all going to work out fine? You know, is that reality? For instance, I feel like I'm coming full circle. I left California in 2014 when I was living in Palm Springs, and now that's 10 years ago. Since then, so much has happened, and I've never given up on acting, voiceover. It's something that I enjoy doing. I just always had this feeling that I'm not done with it. I'm passionate about it. At the same time, when you're working full-time in the kitchen and pastry, that takes so much time. You know, there's not time for anything else, which is why I felt like I had to get out of the hotel industry. But other things don't pay great, you know, that I'm finding out. And the other night I couldn't sleep because I'm thinking, will everything be okay? You know, is it just me being delusional, or is it just me having to trust my gut and just having to trust myself despite, you know, the fear or the nervousness? I mean, these are easy things to fall into. It's easy to fall into fear and negativity because that's how society functions on the most part. You know, it's based in reality. If you're not working, you're not making money, right? So at the same time, maybe I don't need to worry as much as I think I do. What if things can be different than they were before? What if I get a voiceover job and I can pay everything that I need to in a 1 week period of work? Why not? I mean, this could be the case. So I was unpacking this box and it's like it was frozen in time. It was so crazy. Because what happened was, when I left Palm Springs, it was 2014, and I put all my things in storage. And they've basically been there since now. And I was unpacking it, and I saw all these chef menus from when I made the dessert menu at the Parker Hotel in Palm Springs, and I saved one of each season. There, the desserts were very popular. You know, you had to be there in the evening and just plate desserts. We would prep, the team would prep in the morning, and then come evening time, the morning people would leave, and then you'd have a PM person that would plate up. I would show a special. I'd stay for part of the plate up to assist, and then after that I'd go home and the PM person would continue plating. You know, but that's all the PM person did was plate because it was so busy and popular for desserts, which wasn't the case at the last hotel I worked at in Aspen. You know, it was a little bit slower for desserts, depending on the night, you know, but it wasn't as busy as it was at this hotel. So I saved the menus and I developed them all. There wasn't a chef that decided my desserts weren't good enough. He let me do the desserts that I wanted to do. I opened this box, and then I found a menu from when I ate at Paul Bocuse's restaurant in Lyon, France, which was I want to say 2012. This is when I went to Lyon for the Coupe du Monde, as well as to watch the pastry competition. I went to this restaurant, you know, and I found the menu. I saved it, and I didn't even know that I had saved it. Like, there were all these things in there that I had forgotten about. And you might think, well, if I haven't needed it in 10 years, I probably don't need this box. Probably so. But then I found these frames from my pets that I had. And in 2014, everyone was alive and well. You know, so I had my cats, then they were in frames. And I opened this up, and there was my dog, Cassie. So much has happened in this 10 years. You know, now they're all dead. And I remember how each one of them died, you know, which in itself is a tragedy. I just opened this box, and I'm like, oh my God, so much has happened in this time. Here I am, again in California. Of course, not LA, in a different part. But I never expected it to, I guess, happen this quickly. You know, I am where I want to be, and I'm excited about it. But life is just so crazy. And I guess that's my point, you know? You never know what's coming. And that's okay. We don't have to know what's coming. So the other day, I got a phone call. I did apply to this hotel, the Hyatt, and it's about 30 minutes away. And the chef called me, and he was interested in my resume. And we talked for about an hour. Basically, if I were to do a tasting, you know, what days I would want to come in. And then I said, you know, I need to make more money. Like, I'd be interested in this position if he could get me like $20,000 more, you know. And I guess if I really wanted the job, I probably wouldn't have asked for $20,000 more. But I'm thinking, well, if he wants me on board and I ask for $20,000 more and he says $10,000 more, you know, maybe we can decide on something. And then I sent him the tasting menu. I sent him what days I could come in. And I never heard back. So I'm like, okay. And basically that just means they're not willing to pay more. And I'm fine with that. Because the only reason I would do this job is money, you know, to continue my bills. But at the same time, if I work at a hotel, it's the same as before. You're there more than not. And it takes up all my energy. You know, and what I've been thinking about, as I've said before, is to start in the farmer's market, which now I can apply for and apply for my license, my business license, and send out my resume, my acting resume, to voiceover agents. And I actually got a response for a meeting next week, which is positive. We'll see how that goes. But at the same time, I also sent my resume to culinary schools, and I had an interview yesterday, and it went really well. We talked for about 2 hours. It's a small culinary school in downtown San Diego, and what I really like about it is that the school helps these groups, like, for example, veterans. The government funds to pay for the tuition of the school, and in return, a veteran, let's say they want to work in the kitchen and change their career or better their career, they can go to school that's funded by the government, and then they will get a degree, a diploma, and then they can get a better job placement. You know, so there's these programs that just help the city and help the people, as well as the school has a program that helps teens that are in shelters, like 18, 19 year olds, and it helps them in the same way to get a diploma and go to the school funded by the government. And then they get the diploma and then they can get a better job placement, you know. So I felt like that was positive. When I worked at the hotel in Aspen, it was just rich people. Right? It's just rich people that have all this money, they can spend it, but then they are the first to complain. And then I'm in the back of the kitchen and all I hear are complaints. And it's kind of this spiral, this negative spiral. And then I'm thinking, well, what am I doing this for? It's not like I'm challenging myself in the sense of creating all these amazing desserts. When it's so busy, I was just getting through everything I needed to, all the events, one by one. And I would just create the menus and be like, this is it. And yes, they would look nice, like the event desserts would look nice. But most of all, I was just getting through the event, you know, and making it nice. But I wasn't creating new things or new boundaries, let's say. You know, it wasn't like Michelin star style desserts or anything, because if it's for a few hundred people, you're not going to do that. And then on the dessert side for the restaurant, the desserts were simple. They had to be relatively simple because if a dessert came in the PM, I had to have a PM person make that dessert. It was just one person at night. So that one person had to be able to do multiple desserts if necessary. They couldn't be crazy, you know, because then you'd have to have like 2 to 3 people at night, because I also wanted to go home at some point and not be there like all day. And then the desserts that were created, they were basically created by the executive chef because he didn't like the desserts that I was suggesting. And he didn't really care what Americans like to eat or not. He just wanted the desserts that he wanted. So in the end, it wasn't really challenging for me in the sense, you know, it wasn't created by me. I wasn't really feeling inspired. And then I thought, well, when did I feel inspired? And that part was really when I was teaching at a culinary school in Sedona. And I really enjoyed it. The things that you take for granted in the kitchen when you do it professionally, you know, everything is step by step and it's easy. You just do it and you don't think about it because you do it so often. But when you're learning, every single step is unfamiliar and important, and you have to explain every single step. And when I went to culinary school, it was the same thing. I would write everything down because I wanted to nail all the techniques and I wanted everything to come out perfectly. It's a different story when you're learning versus when you know everything and you can just do it, no problem. And I missed that, inspiring students and giving them ideas, them thinking of ideas. It's like that feeling when you know you're doing the right thing and you're 100% involved, you're wide-eyed, and you just want to learn. And I think that's the most important thing in the kitchen, you know, that you never stop learning. And I feel that way. You know, I always want to better myself. I'm still passionate about the kitchen, less so about hotels. I just want a different side of the kitchen versus being there all day and all night and just hearing complaints. I mean, that's understandable, I think, you know, and in the end, I realized it wasn't healthy being at that hotel, just physically, mentally, it was draining. And as well, I felt different being a woman in the kitchen. This is not new. I've been in the kitchen for 15 years professionally, and I've been in a lot of kitchens. And there's always, I mean, some chauvinistic behavior, you know, on some degree. And this time I found it to be worse than before. And I think because the chefs came from a different culture, a different background, and this was their first job in the US, and there were certain comments that I didn't appreciate, you know, toward women in the kitchen and how I felt in the kitchen. That was a big part of just the chef creating the desserts versus myself creating them. And despite me having talked to him about it a few times, it didn't change and it wasn't going to change. And then there were certain comments when I wasn't in the kitchen, when I had given my notice the new chef, the new pastry chef that was coming, he was from the Middle East, and the chefs there had worked with him and they knew him. And then they said to one of my assistants, it's a shame that that assistant won't be there for the next season when the new chef is there, because he would learn so much. Basically, saying that he would learn so much more than he had learned from me. Or that's the way I took it. You know, that's the way it came off. So I didn't appreciate that. And then when I left, I heard my assistant saying that certain things that were ordered, for example, I had asked for extra bananas because we made a bananas foster for an event. And I asked for an extra box. Meanwhile, there were 5 boxes. I never ordered 5 boxes. Like, that's ridiculous. But when I was gone, the blame was put on me that there were 5 boxes, you know. Or I ordered certain chocolates for an event and some other products for events, which cost over $3,000 to $4,000. But there was an event. It wasn't like I didn't order it for anything. So then there were negative comments made that I ordered that. You know, and I didn't appreciate that. Like, I'm gone. Don't talk badly about me to my assistants. That made me realize, yeah, like, I'm happy I'm gone. I know I did a good job. You know, I know I made those desserts look nice. I know I taught my team. I know they appreciated me and I appreciated them. And pastry had a very different vibe than the rest of the kitchen. I'm not a typical chef where I'm yelling at people. Like, that is unnecessary. Whereas on the line, they were still being yelled at. And I don't think it makes an employee respect the chef more when they're being yelled at or disrespected in that way. So I remember when I worked in the kitchen starting out and I was being yelled at and it was horrible. You know, I would just go into the walk-in and cry for like 5 seconds. Like, it was horrible. Whereas with my team, I would say if something wasn't done correctly or why certain things were done in the way they were, if it wasn't positive, but I wasn't yelling or I just wanted things to be done the right way. And I would order and do all those things in the schedule. But I believe my team respected me, and that's what's important. But I didn't feel respected in the kitchen by the other chefs. Whereas I got along great with other departments. I believe I was respected in other departments, but it was just a different vibe in the kitchen. And I think part of it had to do with me being a woman, you know, and I'm not just saying that to say it. I didn't want to bring it up when I was there to my chef regarding that, because I felt like I have to work with him directly and I didn't want there to be backlash or treated differently, even more so. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I should have brought it up. But when I met Rodolfo and things were going great, I knew that I wasn't going to stay. So I didn't want there to be even more issues when I was leaving. I packed everything in Colorado and Rodolfo came, and the morning of, we drove an hour outside of Aspen and we picked up the U-Haul. Of course, nothing is in Aspen. So you have to drive an hour out of the way. And then we drove an hour to Aspen, filled the truck. At first, I wanted to go by my storage unit because I had a storage unit there. And I thought, let's pick it up first and then go to my apartment and load it. We decided differently. We decided to load the truck first and then go by storage and then go back the other way, you know, because we had to go back down the valley. But what happened was we started loading the truck and I had so many things, like in that tiny apartment were so many things, and the truck was too full, you know. And toward the end, I left some things there because I'm like, this is crazy. And I thought, oh my God, like, there's not going to be enough space for the things in storage. And first of all the people that said they would help never showed up. They all ended up working or something else, which really disappointed me. Like, don't say you're going to do something when you probably can't. I respect you more if you don't say it. Like, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to expect someone to help me unless I ask them, and then they're like, yes, we'll do it. But I never asked anybody, and people offered. And I said, yes, okay. Like, I'm not going to turn you down because I know I have a lot of stuff. And also, I lived in the basement, so you had to go down the stairs and up the stairs, and I knew it would be more challenging. So, like, five people said they would help. And then it turns out one person forgot, one person was out of town, two people were working, another person picked up a shift. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. I'm just over people saying something and then doing something else. You know, I get it. Moving isn't fun. But then don't say that, you know? And I think that's my biggest thing with people. And that's why I think I have very few friends. Because in the end, people just say things to be nice, but they're not serious. Which doesn't make me respect you. It made me kind of bummed out, you know, and disappointed. So I'm like, okay, in the end, and maybe I'm wrong, but in the end, I feel like the person I can depend on is myself. I'd like to be able to trust people and believe that people will show up and follow through. But I've seen so many times that doesn't really happen. So when people say something, I always take it with a grain of salt. Which maybe is the wrong attitude, but I found over and over again, oh, okay, like that's how it is, and fine. So we filled the truck, we went to the storage, and there were more things than I thought there would be, and it didn't fit, and I kind of just broke down because it took us so long to fill the truck, because we had to fill it in a way that would get the most capacity, because I probably should have gotten the next size truck, which I didn't. And I broke down because in storage, I have photo albums, I have things from my mom, and I have things that, I mean, they're in storage because I don't want to get rid of them. They have some meaning. Right? If they didn't have meaning, I wouldn't have the storage and I wouldn't have those things. But I realized at a point that I can't take everything, and now I basically have to choose what I need the most. But because it was in storage, I thought, okay, it's in storage. I just can't take everything now, but I guess it doesn't mean I have to throw it away or not take it eventually. So I left some things there. I took what I could, but I had this moment where I was super sad because the things that you have, the things that you collect, they all have memories. When I see something I have, I know when I bought it. I know exactly when I got it. And I liked it. You know, that's why I got it. And there's meaning behind it, or it was given to me, you know, by a special person. And some of those things just didn't fit into my small apartment. So I put them in storage because I'm thinking, okay, down the road, I will have a bigger place where I can have these things.
Believing that the situation was just temporary. You know, this isn't forever. This is just the next step. But I didn't know what would happen after that. I just knew, okay, this feels right for now. And then when something else comes along, I'll see.
Oh, but then they didn't fit in the truck. And I thought, damn it, like I should have left some of the things from the apartment, you know, and taken these things instead. And I just felt this weight. It's like this burden, almost like, are these things that important? You know, do I have to have them with me the rest of my life? Like, no, I guess not. But I just felt this weight of all these things kind of weighing me down in a sense of, like, I've had these for so long and I don't want this moment for me to decide if I keep it or not. I don't want to just throw it away or leave it.
It just super stressed me out.
It was like the struggle in that moment. Like, what do I do with these things? And I felt super sad because there's pictures with my mom and I didn't want to leave that. And I feel like I really have to go through all these things to decide, do I want this or not? But we didn't have the time and we were tired. Anyway, it was a rough day. We left some things. I closed the storage and we went and picked up the tow truck to put the car on the back. And then we drove 2 days through 5 states in 1 day, like the next day. Like that night, we just drove a couple hours and then rested. But then the next day, we pretty much drove all day. We drove through Colorado, Utah, Nevada, Arizona, California, like a little bit kind of each state. And then as we were driving through Nevada, I've never driven that way, but the mountains were so beautiful. There were a lot of red rocks, a lot of monuments. I think there was one called a Black Horse Monument. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember. But it was so beautiful. The next night we were in California. We stayed at a hotel there and then got to San Diego pretty early the next day. His friends all showed up, and that's amazing. You know what I've noticed is that other cultures support each other so much more than European or Caucasians. White people don't support each other. And maybe I'm wrong with that, you know? Like just, or I've never experienced that really, a group of friends on that level. Even though in New York, you know, I have a group of friends and they all show up. New York is so different than, I guess, Colorado and the West Coast. I don't know. Rodolfo's friends, they're all Brazilian and they were all there. They all showed up. They unloaded the truck in 20 minutes. It was amazing. So fast when it took us hours to load it. They support each other. And I've never experienced that before. Even growing up, like my family, we moved a lot. So we just had each other. We didn't have extended family or anything like that. And the friends my mom had were kind of the same. They would say something, but then not follow through. So I've never experienced this kind of support on that level. I love that. You know, I love that that exists. Whereas I find like Americans, Europeans, like you're on your own unless you have family. And I guess there's, you know, some close friends, but I don't know. I've never experienced loyalty like this on this level. And Brazilians, they have it like 100% for each other, which is amazing. That's so rare. So they unloaded the truck and then everything was just filled with boxes. And then I had to unpack them and put everything in its place. And even here, I donated a few boxes of things because some things were from 2014 and sooner. And now I'm like, well, I don't need them anymore. I don't need this anymore. Like, it's okay. I can just let it go. And I still have so many kitchen things. Like, it's crazy.
So guess what I did? I just got back from Colorado. Like I said, I was going to do. I had planned that whole thing just last week. I flew there 3 days ago to Denver. And then in Denver, I rented a truck. It was super easy. I wasn't expecting it to be so easy. I don't know. I expect things to be hard sometimes. I just expect things to be more complicated. But everything went so smoothly and it was great. So I picked up a rental car and I ended up getting a Jeep Renegade, which was good because it fit some things in it. You know, when I was at storage, I decided to take some things to donations. So from there, from Denver, I drove to Glenwood Springs. I went to my storage. So what I did was I ordered this cube. It's called a U-Box from U-Haul. It's quite a good size. I can't tell you the dimensions offhand, but it's pretty tall. It's like the height of, you know, a regular room in the house, like pretty high ceiling. And it's about 3 feet wide from the front. And then on the sides, it goes back
I want to say like 5 feet, and then it's like 7 feet, 8 feet tall. Like, it's a pretty good size. Maybe it's 9 feet tall.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It would have been tiny for all of my stuff, but for the size that I needed it to be for the things that I had left, it was perfect.
I went to the storage to see if the box was there because they said it was delivered. And my storage number was L202. I gave all the directions and everything. And I drive up to my unit and the box isn't there. And I'm like, oh my God, like I, where is it? And I look, it was delivered to I-202. I guess if you're not thinking caps, an I could look like an L. And I was like, no. And the worst case scenario, I guess I could put things in the car and drive it back and forth. Like, it wasn't close. It was in the storage unit, but it was like kind of far, like 4 rows down on the other end of the unit.
It's far for heavy things, and I had quite a few heavy things left.
So I called back U-Haul saying this happened. They said they could come the next day and bring it next to my unit. So I'm like, okay, like this is okay. You know, this is why I went for like 2 days, just in case something were to go wrong. So instead, on that day, I mean, I was pretty tired from driving because Glenwood Springs is about 3 hours from Denver. I picked out the things that I wasn't going to use in California. And I thought, okay, do I really need all this stuff? So some things I donated. The rest of the things, like, I went through thinking, okay, am I going to use this? Because there were like Blu-ray DVDs, regular DVDs. And I do have a DVD player. I'm just going to say that because I have like 200 DVDs. I mean, maybe I don't watch them all because everything's about streaming. But still, I could. This is why I have so many things, because I could do all of these things, you know, all of these hobbies and things that I save. So I brought things to Goodwill. And then I was just so tired from the day that I decided to go to the hot springs. And it's called Iron Mountain Hot Springs. And it was so nice because they opened up this new section of the hot springs. They're natural hot springs, and they have all these, you know, vitamins and minerals in the water like any hot spring would. But they've taken, you know, where the hot springs come out and made it into this kind of complex. So you have over, I don't know, like 30 different pools, and they're all different temperatures. Some might be 98, some are 104. And then they open this new part of it where it's imitating different springs of the world. So you have maybe a Japanese hot spring where they put more manganese into it, you know, whatever that does. And most of them are all good for the skin and psoriasis and things like that. And then they have these other pools, like one imitates the Dead Sea, and it's just filled with a huge amount of salt, and you can float in it. You know, so this was so nice to do this after a crazy day. I was there for like 2 hours. I went back, and I could feel a difference. Like, my back was feeling really good and hurting less.
For the week and a half before, I was moving everything intensely, and my back was just killing me. All that bending and lifting, it was so bad at night, and I couldn't really sleep very well because everything was so stiff. I just had trouble moving from side to side. It reminded me of when I was in my car accident. Just that's how much it hurt. So to be able to go to the hot springs, I could really feel the difference, and it was this big relief. I was so excited.
And I just had more energy. So it's amazing what natural hot springs do. And it was also just weird to be back after a week and a half of being in San Diego. And then all of a sudden, oh, I'm back in Colorado. Like, it was such a quick thing. So the next day, the unit was delivered, and it was put right next to my unit, thank goodness. I drove there, and it basically took me an hour and a half to fill everything into the box from my storage. So now my storage is empty. So this U-Box is very convenient, because they deliver it to California And of course, you pay for a delivery fee and everything else. But they basically deliver it right next to my apartment. It's not cheap, you know, but
nothing's cheap. That's the problem. You've got the flight. It's about $200. You've got the hotel. That's about $60 to $70 a night. You've got the car rental. That's close to $400 with gas. You've got the U-Haul delivery box and fee, and that's $1,300. So yeah, it's convenient, but it's a lot for an unexpected thing.
When Rodolfo and I drove from California, it's like 14, 15 hours, and having to do that again was just too much for me. You know, so it cost about $1,300 for this U-Box, and it's a lot, and it's probably more money than was actually in there, even though what ended up being left in storage was my artwork and more photographs, which are important things to me. There are some photography things. I don't know. Had I known this would happen, I probably would have left some other things behind that weren't as important. It's easy to say. But when you're confronted with all these things that are important to you, it's hard. It was very complicated. So in the end, it was worth it to just pay this, have it delivered. So I filled the box, I padlocked it, and then the next day they took the box, and it's going to end up being here like in a week and a half. After I filled it, I had Indian lunch with an assistant of mine from the hotel, and he was telling me all the latest gossip, but it was just good to see him. We had Indian, and we ended up having ice cream, of course. I'm trying to do better with this sugar thing, but in times of stress, it's not easy. And then I'm like, I have to go to the chiropractor. So he went with me because I'd made this appointment and it took like 20 minutes. And my back was just so tight. You know, all this moving stuff, because even once it's here, I have to unpack it all. And it's just a lot. It's a lot of bending, and it's just a lot of work. You know, maybe it sounds silly, but it's crazy how much work it is just unpacking everything. Oh, and I also paid my dental bill. Like, the dentist I went to was right across the hallway from the chiropractor. When I went in for that filling, they did, I don't know, they billed the insurance $800 or something. And they paid about half, and then I still had to pay $400. And I'm like, geez. It's like once you start spending money, it just goes everywhere. You can't think about it too much because you're like, okay, I guess I have to pay this anyway. It's like bad timing, you know, considering I don't have a job really, like consistent. So it is a bit stressful. Anyway, I paid this as I'm leaving. Like, I just got seen by the chiropractor. You know, he put stuff on my back. You know, that icy hot gel. I felt better. I felt a bit more loose. As I'm walking to the main entrance, the exit, this older woman is kind of blocking the doorway. She is with a walker, and it's like a walking stick, which has like support things on the bottom. It's not one of those where you lean on it and slide it kind of thing. You know, I guess if you know about walkers, I don't know. She's kind of blocking the doorway, and I'm waiting for her to move. And in that moment, she's kind of stressing to move, but she's having trouble. So she's just standing there, and I'm kind of standing next to her, waiting for her to move forward. And in that moment, she says, I'm going to fall. And she like basically falls in my direction. Okay, I've just been seen by a chiropractor, and her full body weight lands on me, and I support her and have her stand up again. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to see an old woman like fall. That's terrible. So I did a good deed for the day. But at the same time, I'm like, what the hell? I just got seen by a chiropractor. Do I have to go back in now? It was just so random, you know?
My sister was just behind me, confused and then laughing.
She finally made it a few steps, and I asked her, you know, if she needed any more help. And I guess she was okay. And she wasn't even going to the chiropractor. She was going to the dentist. So I'm like, I think you should go to the chiropractor instead. So anyway, my assistant, he ended up going to the bus station, and I continued to drive back to Denver. You know, everything was done. And that's it. That was my stint in Colorado. I drove back to Denver, stayed a night in a hotel in Denver. The next day, I flew back. And now I'm back in San Diego. It was like the craziest, fastest thing. And then this morning, I'm going to teach at the school. I was given a shift a week, and depending if I need to fill in. So I worked last Monday. So I worked twice this week. I worked Monday. I flew to Colorado Tuesday. I'm back on Thursday, and today it's Friday. And then I'm teaching this morning. And it's a class of like 8. They're very good students. Like, they're very willing to learn. And basically, I'm just filling in teaching baking. And they're doing plated desserts right now. So they'll plate their desserts, make the cakes or whatever they're making. Like, on Monday, they made a Swiss roll or a roulade. And we made the sponge, you know, and I basically helped make everything with them, like show them how to do each step. But it was fun. You know, it was fun. I feel like it's better to do this kind of work and actually help students and show students. And also, the school helps teens, shelter teens that want to get a job, so they don't have to pay money for the school, and the government helps pay, like fund for the school, and then they can get a job. You know, so it's like, it's good for the community. I feel much better about doing this kind of work versus working in a luxury hotel where everyone gets endless amounts of anything they want, and then they just complain about it. You know, like, these people have so much money that they probably don't know what to do with, and they just get everything, and everything is wasted. Like, we have to put out, or we had to put out, all these different kinds of pastries that they weren't going to eat. They just had to be there because it looked good. You know, maybe a kid ate like one thing, and then the rest of it got brought down to cafeteria, and basically employees ate all of it. And if it was later in the day, it just got thrown out. So there's just so much waste. And it's so sad, because now I'm in a city, I see homeless downtown, you know, and it's in every American city. I mean, there's just such a huge amount of homeless people. And I remember visiting San Diego years ago, and it wasn't like that. You know, so everywhere it's gotten worse. And I feel like when I was in Aspen, it was just this bubble, you know, like, it's like the perfect city, like the perfect town. It's sheltered, it's protected. Yeah, it's safe, but it's not the real world. It's not what it's really like. So I think San Diego isn't as crazy as like San Francisco or some other cities I've heard of bad homeless, but it's still hard to see. So at least me working in a school that's helping people in need and bettering their lives, I mean, I feel like that's more important. It's more important to help other people than to just make this stuff for rich people. I think so. I just felt, going back and talking to my assistant about the hotel, I just felt so happy to not be there. I mean, yes, the money side of it, okay, that sucks because I'm not making any, but that's just temporarily, you know? I did have a meeting with an agent who seemed very positive about possibly representing me, and it's a commercial agency. So we'll see, you know, but if I can make money doing acting things, and also I love acting, so that would be amazing because I feel like that's really full circle. If I can make money doing that and then continue this farmer's market thing with the pastries and sell that, I feel so much more positive about that. So we'll see. But I just wanted to tell you about this quick trip and how crazy it was. And just, it was so nice to visit. And now in Colorado, like, there's still snow up in the mountains, but on the ground it's melted. And these flowers are blooming. There's bees everywhere. You know, it's like in full spring mode. And it was so beautiful. And I love the mountains. I just wish it was more summery, I guess, more of the year. And it's just such a crazy contrast between San Diego and being there. But I appreciate both sides. So yeah, I don't know, I had like this mind shift about, yes, I'm doing the right thing. And yes, I feel happy and positive. And then coming home and, you know, Rodolfo picked me up. He brought me flowers. He cleaned my whole car. He detailed everything because it was super muddy and dirty just from all the snow weather in the winter. I don't know. It was just, wow. Like, he cleaned everything. It was so impressive. And then just coming home and being with him and someone to come home to, it was like, I love that. I don't know. I just feel like everything has changed so much in a positive way. And to have that support system at home, you know, I've never had that. And it's just so nice. And it's a new thing. I was so tired yesterday. I ended up sleeping like 10 hours. I don't know. I went to bed at like 9 p.m. and woke up at 5. Maybe that's just 9 hours. I don't even know. But it felt like a long time and it felt good.
I can sense you're doing the math. You're like, what did you talk about? It's 8 hours.
And yeah, I guess I'm just settling in. It's going to take a minute, but I feel like this week has been so busy and I'm already working. Yes, I'm making less money than before, but I think if you're doing something that you care about, you know, like I love baking, but to do it in a teaching scene, it's just, it feels better. It feels right. I just think it's important to do something that you're passionate about and apply it in a way that means something, you know, that's just helping society. I don't know, like long term, you know, in a different way. The energy of the hotel, it just felt, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but I just know that when I left, I felt so happy. And it's just like, you know, nothing there is going to change. You know, there's flaws in the hotel that people know it's there and nobody addresses it. And if they do, it just, it's the same thing and just keeps going in this circle. And it has this energy of darkness. It's like this dark energy and people just get depressed, you know, and I feel like just being in that, it's not healthy and it's not something I want to be in. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how little, or, you know, like, yes, from the outside, it looks important because you still have to pay your bills, of course, you know, but in the end, if you do something you care about, if you live your passions, I think then the rest will follow. And I really believe that because I was listening again to this Positive Mindset podcast. I hadn't listened to it in a while and I was at the airport and he was just saying how it's so important, the mantra you say to yourself, you know, like if you make a mistake at work or in life, it's easy to say to ourselves, oh my God, like I'm so stupid or that was dumb. You know, why do I do these dumb things? But that's like your own internal voice. But that's important, what you say to yourself. You know, it's more important to say, okay, like, I'll do better next time, but I am a strong person. You know, I am a confident and capable person. Like, we should be saying these positive things to ourselves in our inner voice. And it just resonated with me because I think as women too, like if we go out in public and even at the grocery store, sometimes I notice I do this, like if someone crosses my way and it's like that person's fault, or I don't know if it's anybody's fault, but I'm quick to say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, like I thought I'm just being like a friendly person. But I think oftentimes if you notice it, sometimes women are the first to apologize and they don't need to apologize. Like, it may not even be a situation where you need to apologize, but then I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. But why? Why am I sorry? Like, I just, anyway, I just noticed it's important to have a positive inner monologue. If you're positive to yourself, if everything is energy, like it has meaning. It has meaning how you treat yourself and what you say to yourself. I want to be more mindful of that and focus more about just positivity to myself. And if I'm doing a job that I feel positive about, I just feel like I'm on the right path. I'm going in the right direction. And then more good will follow. I mean, this is what I'm hoping. And I think as long as you feel right doing what you're doing, you know, like at the hotel, the energy, my energy just got sucked away. And I was just tired, you know, and I was so happy when my days were off. Then I was like, ah, I only have 2 days off. I gotta go back, you know, and it wasn't even like a bad place to work per se, but just this energy just sucked you dry. My point is, be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of what makes you feel good and what makes you tired. If you do things that you love, if you do things that you're happy to do, you have more energy. But if you go to this place that just sucks you dry and you feel it, like you really feel it at the end of the day, in the end, I feel like it's just gonna spiral and it's not gonna be positive for you in the long run. I'll keep you posted on the next steps because I feel like every day something's changing. Oh, and I'm going to a Padres game tonight. So that's exciting. I've never been to a Padres game. I bought a Padres dress instead of wearing a Padres t-shirt. You know, they make dresses for Padres. So I'm like, well, I have to wear a dress. Since I've unpacked all my clothes, I've got like way too many dresses. I don't know. I want to say 70 dresses or something. I might have to end up going through them all, but we'll see. So thank you for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.